Chapter 17. Tuning in to the Holy Spirit. One of my great joys in life was coaching swimming when I lived in the Middle East. I enjoyed it not because of the sport, but because of my love for each swimmer on my team. Our team was diverse, representing over 20 nations from Australia to Italy, South Africa to Holland. Each day, the kids heard my voice, probably much more often than they wanted to hear it. By time trials, they knew it well. Distinct, deep, and loud. Tighten up! Streamline! Kick! Core rotation! Attack the wall! Watch your hand entry! On meet day, with the adrenaline, the passion of the parents and crowd, and the distractions of the ongoing events, it would have been easy for my voice to get lost in the chaos. Therefore, I would often draw the younger, less experienced swimmers aside from the commotion and remind them, tune in to only one frequency, Coach Nate. Remember the things I've told you. The voice of the Holy Spirit. Like my swim team needed to know my voice and focus on it, committed followers of Jesus must know his voice amidst the confusion of this loud world. So, what does the Holy Spirit's voice sound like? It's pretty simple. The Holy Spirit convicts lost people in three areas. John 16:8 lays it out. He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. While this statement refers to the Spirit's work to bring sinners to repentance, a change of mind and direction, it contains applications for followers of Jesus as well. In a fresh kind of way, his voice continues to touch our hearts with a sense of conviction in these three areas of sin, righteousness, and judgment. 1. Sin. Think of sin as those things in our lives that are, but shouldn't be. That which exists, but shouldn't. Lust, laziness, pride, selfishness, gossip, conceit, you get the idea. Where are we missing the perfection of His holiness? If you're like me, you're probably thinking, where am I not missing the perfection of His holiness? Sin, the things that keep us from knowing Him more. Be encouraged when the Holy Spirit identifies these things in your life. It means you are greatly loved. Revelation 3:19, Hebrews 12:6. The Holy Spirit is communicating to us Jesus' heart, not condemning us for the wrong committed. Do you remember the difference between condemnation and conviction? Listen again to chapter 16. When convicted, do we act in obedience, knowing God's standard of holiness? Or do we reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit in order to enjoy the fleeting, unfulfilling pleasures of the world? 2. Righteousness. In applying John 16:8 to the believer, righteousness can be seen as those Christ-like characteristics that should be present in our lives, but aren't. The Holy Spirit convicts us to pursue proactive obedience. Jesus tells us to seek first His kingdom and righteousness, Matthew 6:33. This leads us to serve the hurting, love the lonely, minister compassion, encourage the saints, spend and be spent for others, etc. These acts of righteousness move us in the direction of the perfect will of God, as Epaphras prayed for the church at Colossae, that they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, Colossians 4:12. 3. Judgment. Judgment could be thought of as wisdom for each situation. As we walk through life, God's Spirit wants to give us His mind for the choices we must make. And, more importantly, He wants to form in us the right attitude to accompany each choice. In other words, the bigger issue might not be the particular university I choose to attend, but rather what my purpose is on that campus. Is my heart's desire to glorify God in my thoughts, words, and actions on that particular campus? Perhaps the bigger issue is not the specific job I apply for, but whether my desire is that God be honored and known through that avenue of work. Often, we over-spiritualize our decision-making when God's will is more for His glory than for the specifics of the circumstances. He wants us simply to walk in the path He has already revealed as pleasing to Him. He may not give you a miraculous revelation for which house to buy, but He will give you wisdom, James 1:5, to make right judgments and choices of eternal value. At the end of the day, the Spirit's role is to point us to Jesus and glorify Him. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will glorify Me, said Jesus, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. John 16:13-14. Too busy to be holy. If our activities are pushing us away from intimacy with Him, we should re-examine our lives and ask, whose voice am I listening to? Whose directions am I following? If we're doing so much that we don't have time to spend in the Lord's presence, then we are too busy and doing more than He is asking of us, Luke 10:42. Or, if our activities are pointing people to us, and we are receiving the glory for our actions, we should reevaluate who is leading. Remember, God shares His glory with no one. When we get the glory, God does not. Isaiah 42:8. Take time to meditate on these things. Where are we receiving the glory instead of God? Where in our lives do we give others, rather than Almighty God, the glory? We live in a chaotic world. Everything is seeking to grab our attention and time. Work, money, family, entertainment, friends, politics, conflict, relationships, fear. When I struggle to hear the voice of God, could it be that my life is too loud? Perhaps it's not so much about tuning out other voices as it is about tuning in to that one voice, His voice. The psalmist tells us, "Be still and know that I am God," Psalm 46:10. This command does not end in silence, but in the saturation of knowing that He is God as we seek and recognize His position in our life and His purpose for our moments. We can't always hush our noisy world, but we can listen to the voice of our Master by abiding in His Word. Jesus reminded His followers in John 10:27, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them, and they follow Me." Jesus explained that the Holy Spirit's role was to remind them of His Word. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." John 14:26. A life that denies self is a life in which the Holy Spirit's voice can be heard and heeded. Know this: God is not the one who fails to communicate. He is speaking to us constantly in His Word. The question is, are we listening? If we are too busy to listen to God, we are too busy. The work of the Holy Spirit. The story is told of a young boy who approached a sculptor who was meticulously shaving away splinters of wood from a block of oak. Intrigued, the youngster asked the artist, "What are you making?" He replied, "I'm carving a lion." Once again, the boy reflected on the situation and asked, "How is that possible? How do you see a lion in a block of wood?" Setting down his chisel, the sculptor looked at the boy and answered, "It's quite simple. I chip off every part of this block that doesn't resemble a lion, and all I'm left with is the lion. In a similar way, the Holy Spirit's work is to guide us into all truth and, ultimately, to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ as he removes everything that doesn't resemble Christ. What is the first step of obedience God is directing you to take? Don't expect him to reveal step two before you obey step one. This earthly pilgrimage is a journey of simple faith, walking by his Spirit in moment-by-moment obedience. This intimate relationship carries with it serious responsibility. Meditate on these three commands from Scripture. 1. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. To quench refers to putting out a light or fire. We quench the Holy Spirit's work in us and through us when we fail to respond to his promptings and thus fail to shine as lights in the world. Philippians 2:15. The Holy Spirit wants to guide the believer into truth, but he will not force obedience. 2. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4:30-32. This reality is astonishing. The same word for grieve is used to describe the intense grieving that takes place when a loved one dies. We cause the Holy Spirit grief when we fail to walk in holiness and love. Think of it. God allows fragile, fallen human beings to grieve his Holy Spirit. This reveals God's gentle and gracious heart for his children. But what a wicked and ungrateful thing it is for us to pain the one who loves us so. 3. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Ephesians 4:17-21. To be filled with the Spirit is to be guided and empowered by the very Spirit of Jesus, overflowing with his joy, love, and the other attributes that reflect the perfections of his character. Galatians 5:22-25. By definition, if we are filled with one thing, we cannot be filled with another. Are we allowing the thoughts of God to fill our perspective in every area of life? The result will be a life that looks and loves like Jesus Christ. There is no limit to what the Holy Spirit can do in you and through you as you deny self, take up your cross, and listen to his voice, the very voice of Jesus. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father! So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Galatians 4:6-7. Seriously, on this side of heaven, does it get any better than this?